My name is Xavier McDaniel, and I have established recovery since June 16th, 1996. I guess I'm just going to tell a little bit about who I am and how I ended up in this process. I originally came to this area to play basketball for the Albany Patroons. I played ball in college. I was very good. Ended up getting drafted by the Denver Nuggets. And I came to Albany because I got waived by Denver. Now, I am the son of my dad was a minister and my mom was a high school administrator. She was always a counselor. She had a degree in biology. So one of my parents was always working in the school that I attended. And because my dad was a minister, we moved around a lot. So when I came to Albany, I just kind of like fell into behavior that I'd had all through college and high school. I constantly was seeking something outside myself. And for me, I tried to fill that void with drugs and alcohol. Actually drugs, alcohol, and at the time I was a womanizer. So when I came to this area, I kind of just fell into that same pattern. And it wasn't long before my dream that I had since I was a child just stepped away from me. And I ended up getting waived and I ended up getting picked up by another team in the CBA. But at the end of the season, I ended up coming to live in Schenectady, New York, where I live now, and I just never went back. You know, the disease of addiction continued to progress within me, and I just never got back. It's not like I stopped playing, but I just never went back because of the lifestyle that I saw that I didn't know how to navigate through when I was playing. Now, when I came to Schenectady in Mohegan Indian means end of the road. And for me, that's so true in so many ways because it was the end for me in regards to a particular lifestyle, in regards to my lifestyle. And I really never understood it in the beginning that when I came to Schenectady and once again, I fell right in, really didn't know anybody. But it wasn't long before I was using again. I really never stopped. And because of my lifestyle, I found myself with some decent jobs along the way. That wasn't my issue. But keeping those jobs and being responsible was. And at the end of the road, I found myself homeless. I found myself homeless here in Schenectady. And I never forget that I found myself at this agency called Homeless Travelers. And I went in because, once again, I was homeless. And I sat down to do an intake with this older woman. And she asked me, do I have a problem with drugs? And for the first time in my life, it's like it hit home. And I started tearing up. And, you know, I come from that school of thought where you don't ever let them see you cry and or show any kind of an emotion as a man. And that kind of opened the door for me to be able to see that I really did have a problem. And I went to my very first 12-step meeting that day. I had the intake to go to treatment, but they told me that I really, you know, I didn't need to go to treatment. So I started working and I started trying to catch up, you know, for my children, because during this time that I was here in Schenectady, I fathered two children, my son Xavier and my daughter Jaquay. And I was present as much as I was always present, but the condition that I was present in was not always favorable. Once again, because I was drinking and drugging the entire time, there's a lot that if I had a chance to do it all over again, I would. And I'm saying that because I tried to do so much to play catch up with them. And it got to a place where there were some suggestions I took in the beginning, some suggestions that I didn't take. And the suggestions that I didn't take haunted me because I ended up using again. And when I was blessed to make it back, because I started doing all those things that I had done before, you know, selling their clothes that I bought for the kids, you know, not being able to show up and be present for them. And so I really got to that place where I hit a bottom. And you hear that term a lot, but I was just sick and tired of who I had become. So I made a decision that I was going to do something different. So the last day that I used a substance to change my mood or alter how I thought was June 15, 1996. So that's kind of like how I got to this, into the recovery part, right? Once again, I share with you that I father two children, and so I wanted to be a better father for them. So I started showing up for them. I didn't, like my son, his mom died when I had about 30 days clean to the disease of addiction. And my daughter's mother was active at the time. So there was a need within me to be there for my children. And so it just worked out that, you know, once again, I was blessed that, you know, I got a job. I was able to get a place to live. You know, I tell this story a lot that my daughter helped me move into the very first place I had. She was probably 4 or 5 at the time. And all I had was some clothes. I didn't have any furniture, anything like that. And I had some paper bags, and she's helping me walk up the steps, and there's something on the steps, and she sees it, and she said, "Dad, what's that?" And it's a little trinket. And I look down to pick it up, and when I pick it up, it says, "Try God." And I don't believe in coincidences, because at that point, I understood that there was something bigger than myself at work. And so I was blessed to be able to get custody of both of my children and raise my children, my son and my daughter. And that was always my biggest joy, because a lot of times African-American men sometimes get a bad label in regards to not being there for their children. So, you know, being able to be there and raise and be a single father and raise my children was so important to me. And to be able to show them that, you know, you can fall, but you can always get back up, that you can come back better than you were at one point. So I guess that brings me to you know, some of my greatest highs and lows in this process of recovery. You know, I came in as a womanizer, but I was able to understand and learn how to respect women. I was able to learn what it truly means to be a man from the men that were around me, that mentored me. I was able to get married. And I had a situation where my son, who was his lifestyle or his life choices, you know, I was very fearful of. And, you know, because of the loss of his mom and other family members when he was coming up, he always had a void that he never knew how to fill. And, you know, he ended up getting into a lot of trouble. And as a result, we clashed from time to time. So my son was caught up in the lifestyle. And on April 3rd of 2007, my son was murdered here in Schenectady. And, you know, that single event was probably the most defining moment in my recovery process, because that was some pain that, aside from my dad dying early in the process when I had 2 years clean, was some pain that, like, I really just did not know how to deal with. You know, it was almost like I was just in a fog. I just knew that the one thing that I really didn't want was for any kind of retribution for the young man that shot my son, you know, because my feeling was is that two lives were lost that day. The young man that shot my son, his life was over, and my son's life. And that's that type of thinking, that being able to live a principled life is a direct result of the recovery process. You know, I never thought about any kind of revenge. I never thought about taking my feelings out on any family members of this young man or acting out. And I say it was a defining moment because it allowed me to grow, because I would like to think that I walk a real spiritual path, and it allowed me to get closer to God. You know, and to this day, it continues to guide and strengthen me. You know, I've been through divorce, my health issues. You know, I've major surgeries, different heart procedures. And no matter what happens in my life, I just know that me using is not ever going to solve the problem. I just don't use no matter what. No matter what happens in my life, I understand that me wanting to do something that, to use a mood-changing, mind-altering substance, is not going to help the situation. Once again, I just believe that, you know, during those tough times, that if you just sit still long enough, it'll pass. The feeling will pass. That's what I've been taught. You know, now I've been blessed that I'm still here. You know, throughout all my health situations and everything else, there were a couple of times when I really didn't feel like I was going to leave the hospital. But God has another plan for me. I I was blessed that I had an opportunity through some mentors that I have that they talked to me about recovery and recovery coaching. And I got a chance to get some information about peer advocacy, and I was really excited that I got an opportunity to meet some people and network with some folks with Four New York in Schenectady and in Albany. And I was privileged to be able to volunteer at the recovery conference in August here in Albany. And it gave me an opportunity to understand that there is something else that I must do. And I always believe that, you know, once you get an opportunity to get clean and stay clean, that it's about getting in touch with your purpose. And I really feel like my assignment right now is about getting into recovery coaching. It's something that I've been doing for over 20 years. But now it's time to do it in a different arena. So I'm really excited about that. I really feel like I have something substantial to bring to the table. Once again, I stated that I've had some remarkable mentors that have taught me great life lessons along the way. I can't state enough how important my relationship with God is, you know, and if, you know, once again, it's not about a religious piece, it's just about a spiritual walk. And if God bothers you, you know, you can think of it as good orderly direction. But once again, I'm just talking about my journey. And, you know, I'm at a place now where I'm very excited about what's coming. And hopefully by November, I will have completed all the training, and then I'll see where I go from here. But the recovery process has taught me some very important lessons. You know, one thing is that, like, I've been asked to speak in arenas and in front of crowds of folks, and I've had a chance to do that all up and down the East Coast. And the one thing that I love more than anything else is being able to foster relationships. You know, I have learned how to be comfortable with who I am and to be able to love other people unconditionally. So there are some basic things, right, that I understand today. And one of them is that no matter what happens, drinking and drugging is just not the answer. I also understand that there's nothing more powerful than seeing someone be able to stay clean, to be able to watch them, because it's almost like watching a newborn. You know, when you see them as a toddler and they start crawling around, and then they're able to get their feet up underneath them and take their first few steps. You know, I liken the recovery process to that. You know, being able to stay around long enough to see people grow is the most heartfelt, hopeful measure that I have been exposed to in my life. Profound hope of being able to see someone that at one point in their life where they were hopeless, where they felt like nothing was ever going to work for them, and then being able to grasp onto that mustard seed of hope to be able to stand up where once they were never able to be the people that they were intended to be. Only in this process have I ever seen that happen. So, once again, the recovery process for me is simple, but it's so profound because, once again, I just don't use no matter what. I know that in my journey that I've had the ability or the opportunity and the privilege to be able to touch a lot of different people, but so many different people have touched my life as well. And there's a saying that I've heard throughout my recovery, and it says that you can only keep what you have by giving it away, and we give it away freely. Once again, my name is Xavier McDaniel, and I thank you for taking the time to listen. Be blessed, and may you be a blessing in someone's life today. Thank you.